I'm Jason Klom, and this is the Comedy on Vinyl podcast. The year is 1977. The album is I'm Everyone I've Ever Loved, the artist Martin Mull. My guests for this sixth year anniversary of Comedy on Vinyl, Mike Warden. Hi,
hello.
Mike.
Hi, how are you?
And James Urbaniak.
Hello.
Is it weird that I get annoyed when people say Urbaniak?
No, I don't get annoyed, so you shouldn't get annoyed.
But I get annoyed when people mispronounce my name. Maybe I just have a thing with, like, I don't like when people get my name wrong.
Here's the thing, I don't get annoyed, but I do have a little frisson of appreciation once people pronounce it Urbaniak.
Okay.
Which, of course, is just an arbitrary American pronunciation
of, course it
of
is,
a Polish
yeah.
name.
Do you know, can you give the full Polish, as it were?
Urbaniak!
Sorry, you had your headphones
Not
on,
what
and
I was
loud.
For that at all.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
I
don't normally do this at the beginning of an episode.
What if people mispronounce your name?
Shut up, Mike.
Yeah.
Clam.
Everyone says
it's fine,
Mr.
though.
Clam.
I understand it.
I get Warden.
Warden. I guess
word,
I get that.
Because W-O-R-D is
sure.
word.
I
it's
guess
not
I get
ward.
That.
I don't know why my family calls it warden.
I have close friends who say clam.
Yeah.
Can't be that close.
I have close friends who say, who've said Urbaniak for years, decades.
Yeah.
And I just...
Do you want to call them out
matter.
Now?
Yeah, right now. It's Urbaniak, but okay. It doesn't matter. Just spell it right on the check.
Who gets it wrong? Paul F. Tompkins? Does he say it wrong? I want somebody
I
real
remember.
Famous to get it wrong so I can be right. This is all me. Yeah, this is we're dealing with my interview. What I don't normally do at the beginning of an episode, A, is talk about the pronunciation of names, and B, I don't ask somebody to explain themselves, because I will tell you, for the first time, I don't get it. I don't not like it, because it's good music, but you're going to have to tell me what is so good about this album to you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right. Martin Mule,
right. Yep. Now, it's got great art, great music, but I feel like there's something I'm missing. And I'm just asking you to justify yourself for the next hour.
Okay, I'm ready.
What's our first track? Our first track is not the title track, correct? No, it's Honor
No,
Roll.
In the rap tradition, this is, well, it is a comedy record, but
yes.
They are skits.
Yes, and those are, for me, the best part. For me, the best part is the stuff in between, but that could just
there
be
there are
me.
Several skits on the record.
Skitches, I call them.
Skitches.
Let's start here. What's your favorite song in the album?
I'm at the title track.
It is the title track.
Yes. Okay. And, excuse me, hit the cough button there. I was a fan of his. Here's the backstory.
Yes.
I was born in 63. I started high school in 77 when he started appearing on TV and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like 76, 77 was like Fernwood Tonight, America
right.
Tonight. And he would appear on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And I remember, I didn't really watch Fernwood Tonight, but I remember really loving America Tonight.
Yes.
And then I also enjoyed seeing him do stand-up and stuff on a musical stand-up
sure.
on Carson. And I thought he was really funny. And I went out and looked for his albums. And I don't remember the first one I bought, but I had several of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I this came out in 77, so it's possible I bought this when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Or near that time,
yeah,
late 70s. And I really liked it. I thought he was really funny. And the songs... And the comedy had to my teenage years, had a sophistication that appealed to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
there was
I see
something
that.
Sophisticated about it. And I liked that. And then I just enjoyed the songs. And when I moved out of my parents' house in the 80s, I left behind boxes of LPs because I just wasn't going to bring them to, you know... New York with me.
Sure.
And then a couple of years later, I discovered they were gone. And I never found out what happened. I think my dad probably just thought, what are these old records doing here? And he probably gave them away or
sure.
something. So I owned this album from 77 till like the mid 80s.
Uh-huh.
Then it vanished. So that's almost, that's 30 years ago,
yeah.
basically.
Yeah.
So I haven't listened to it in 30 years, but I swear the title track has just been like my shower repertory for 3 decades. Like I'll be driving and I'll just go, I'm everyone that I have ever loved. It's just in there.
Yeah.
And I think the songs on the album, they're novelty songs, but they really work as songs. They
yeah.
land as songs.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to it again for this, I listened to it twice over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. I thought it really held up. And the songs just have that sort of comforting quality that songs can have.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond just comedy.
Sure, sure.
And they just felt familiar and like old friends. And it was just fun to hang out with these songs again. Mm-hmm. So part of it is just the pleasure of the songs. He genre hops throughout the album.
Yes. And really well. I mean, I should note,
really
I mean,
well.
As
very,
starting
yeah.
out as a songwriter, I guess there's no doubt that the songs are really,
it's
really
good.
It's
very musical. He's still comedic, and he still has a kind of a comedic detachment. And his singing is, it has occurred to me today, his singing is basically kind of conversational singing a la Tom Lehrer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not really a singer, but
right.
he carries the tunes, and he commits to them. So, I don't know. And then I thought the skits still work. They're mm-hmm. funny. There's all these guest appearances.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Crystal is on it, mm-hmm. and Robert Klein.
Robert Klein, yeah.
Which is a very good 70s get.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Klein is quite a get.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal's more of an up-and-comer at the time,
sure.
actually.
Yeah.
Tom Waits.
I know.
Shows up.
That one threw me.
So that's my first stab at explaining what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, that makes perfect sense. I wonder if I'm thrown by, and I'll ask you this in a second, if I'm thrown by the songs being too good. Maybe I'm not used to the songs being that good on a comedy album. I don't know.
That could be a part of it.
You know, they're so well produced.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just a slight satirical skewering that makes mm-hmm. them funny.
Yeah.
But they, like, I think Everyone I've Ever Loved really works just as a song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a country song.
Yeah.
Is what it is. I had written a couple notes in my little notebook here, but I don't think there's much here. And you have the album.
I do, yeah.
Right in front of us.
With the lyrics and everything.
But that's my first stab.
Had you heard Martin Mull before, Mike? Or you just know him as an actor as I did?
Yeah, just as an actor.
Yeah.
I knew he was a songwriter, and I knew he did comedy albums. I'd never heard any of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never listened to any of them.
Right.
But I knew that's where I came from. But I when I listened to him, I was like, I hate to make a difference and say they're humorous songs versus comedy songs. I felt like as I was listening to the album, I kind of had a smile on my face,
yes.
you know, and I kind of enjoyed them as songs, but like I could go back and listen to them again as mm-hmm. songs rather than just laugh out loud comedy songs like some other comedic musicians whose songs like Weird Al or whatever, you know, they're so funny. You can go back and listen, but I think these have more re-listenability, if that makes sense. That's not a rule. You know,
it
you
is
know,
a word
rewatchability.
Now.
You know, you sure. can you come back to it because you like the song, you like the mm-hmm. the structure, the melodic structure.
That's
the,
another
the
reason I could be thrown too. And again, I'm not saying this is bad. I want everybody, especially Martin Mull. I know you're listening. You know, I just was very thrown by maybe it's just they are. Maybe they're just humorous. It's light. It's not exactly dry.
The musicians in general
uh-huh.
are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The bass line I was mentioning in the second track, what is that called? They Never Met. There's a bass solo,
mm-hmm.
and it's fantastic. It was just like, it really jumped right out to me. Right?
Yeah, he's got real players on this.
Yeah.
I did a little Googling, not much. He co-wrote most of them, I think, with some guy named Eddie Wise, who apparently was mm-hmm. the piano player in his band.
Okay,
he had
yeah.
kind of a core group of musicians. And it seems like that was kind of what he was trying to do. Like, you know, you were talking about how it's not as laugh-out-loud funny as, say, Weird Al or mm-hmm. other comedy people. I'd even say as other Martin Mull songs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, like Santa Doesn't Cop Out on Dope or or Santa Fly, two Santa-related
that's very weird
comedy songs that he did. There's no Santa songs on this album.
Right.
It brought me a lot of pleasure, and I remembered the feeling I got listening to it, and mm-hmm. it really held up 30 years later.
See, so these albums then have informed your love of his work. I only know his acting work, so I. What do you, not now, I obviously, but I'm hearing these obviously way after growing up watching Clue on repeat and then, of course, discovering Fernwood in America Tonight.
Right.
Mr. Mull?
Yes?
The president of the record company will see you now.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much, Miss...
Platentype.
Miss Platentype. That's quite nice. Excuse me, I don't mean to be forward, but what is that perfume you're wearing? It's incredible.
Oh, thank you. It's called Ode to Billy Joe.
Ode to Billy Joe. Where did you get it?
One of the gay boys gave it to me.
Oh, that's... I wouldn't... Where? Where again?
Oh, it's the third door on the left.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're
hope
welcome.
To see you later.
I hope so. Good
Bye-bye.
Luck.
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Martin. Sit down. Do you want a beer?
No, thank you. But you go right ahead. That's
okay.
All right.
Okay, what's up?
Well, I've been giving this new album project of ours an awful lot of thought, and I've decided, as far as I'm concerned, I cannot do a live comedy record. I don't care for them. It is not my idea of a...
Martin,
of a,
I cannot. Martin, for God's sakes! You're here at ABC. At ABC, the artist is the king. Whatever you want is what we want. We're not interested in whether it's live... Get your hand off the desk, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're not interested whether it's live or whether we do it in the studio. So whatever's best for you is best for us.
This is fantastic. I mean, boy, by not doing it live, it is going to cost a little bit more money than if...
Tonight, live, the preliminary event. We bring you a man who personifies the agony of defeat and the thrill of dance. The incomparably semi-musical, Mr. Martin Mull.
Yeah, so this your experiences of him as a musician at the same time as an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Do you have an awareness of how that colors your enjoyment
of
his work?
It was the whole package. I just liked his persona. Mm-hmm. He also had this, at the time, his comedy persona was a vain sort of preening,
yes,
good-looking 70s guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had this blonde hair and a mustache. And his... Garth Gimble, mm-hmm, his Fernwood, I think he was a different guy on Fernwood, then he had a twin brother.
Oh,
that's the idea.
That's right, yeah. Okay.
But I think the host of America Tonight was Garth Gimble,
mm-hmm,
who was kind of full of himself, and he plays with that on, the cover of this album is him admiring himself in a hand mirror, mm-hmm, surrounded by pictures of himself. I'm Everyone I Ever Loved is kind of a great witty song because it's about how, I assume you'll play a little clip of,
mm-hmm,
that.
Yeah, I'll put clips.
It's about how he himself contains elements of all the women he's been with.
Yes.
Their features and their personalities. And then it basically ends... the lyrics, they're right here. Oh, do we have the lyrics here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
And then it ends with saying, I don't care if you're packing your suitcase, girl, I know I'm twice the man that you was. So it's a classic country heartbreak song.
Mm-hmm.
But it's being framed in the Martin Mull persona of, I'm so awesome, I'm better than you. In fact, I have all your, my eyes are as pretty as yours.
Right.
And it's sort of a great, that's the only one really where he really merges his sort of vain comedy persona,
mm-hmm,
with one of the songs. The songs don't necessarily keep up that persona.
Oh, I see.
There's kind of a vague running story, which the album is about him making an album.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It begins with a sketch where Rob Reiner plays the head of the record company, saying they wanted to be a live album. And he says, well, I don't want to do a live album. And he says, that's fine, you can do a studio album here. The artist is the king here at ABC Records. And then the joke is, he says, well, of course, Martin says, but by doing it in the studio, it will cost a little more then, and they cut off and they have a fake live intro. It's not a live album. And then he sort of, there's a bit where the record company wants him to do a disco record, a little period disco pastiche.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's drinking in the bar with Tom Waits, complaining about that. So there's the slightest little through line with him sort of as this Martin Mull character who's making this record,
right,
throughout the record.
Did he do that on any of his other albums? Because I have most of them, but I've only heard two of them.
No, I don't recall. And I haven't heard the other ones for 30 years either.
Mm-hmm.
He did do an actual live album called Perfect, Near Perfect.
Okay.
It's like Perfect Slash Near Perfect. What?
Was this his first?
This is,
I don't think so.
His,
I'd have, because I think there was a drolly titled Best of Martin Mull, which is just a collection of random songs, not from other albums.
Right.
Called No Hits for Errors.
Yes.
And the cover is him in like a Little League dugout with some kids in baseball caps pouring water over his head.
This is his 4th, 5th, 6th album.
Yeah. Wow.
His first album is 72.
What's that one called?
Just Martin Mull.
Right.
I have that one. Do I have all these? All but one, I think.
But you haven't really listened to them.
I haven't, but that's why I'm doing the Comedy Album a Day thing this whole year.
Right.
I'm listening to every fucking
I had No Hits for Errors. I had Perfect, Near Perfect. I had this one. I may have had another one.
And I guess you know what surprised me is it feels like it's so adult and of a certain time. So if you're as young as you were listening to this first, it feels like this is early something that would be super funny to a 30-year-old. A 30-year-old who had figured out
He's 34 when he made this one.
I'm about to sell out. Like, it feels like a sellout former hippie is what it feels like. And I wonder why that appeals to a 14-year-old kid.
Well, it's not. They don't really do this. The only sellout joke is the idea that he's being forced to make a disco record.
Yeah. Sure. His character in him feels that way to me. He's just always felt that way. Maybe it's just.
Well, there's also a very there's a very 70s kind of I don't know, light jazz, easy listening quality to some of the music and arrangements.
That's definitely part of it.
And he seems to enjoy this kind of jazzy, but there's a bossa nova type song on the record. I don't know. I don't know. I was on a weird kid. I just liked it.
That's fine. That's a good enough reason.
I just liked it.
I had Weird Al when I was that age, but you know.
I was listening to Weird Al when he started out, which was around the time that Weird Al started to break through on Dr. Demento. And I enjoyed those songs. Weird Al wasn't as much an institution, though, in the late 70s.
Sure, of course. No.
When did his first
album
come out?
About 79. His first album was 79 or 80, but like he first broke in like 79 or so.
Right.
Just out of high school.
It seems to me if this was released today, if this was coming out today, it would be more on the vein of groups or artists who have a humorous Bare Naked Ladies, Ben Folds. There's humor in those songs, and they're not specifically comedy.
You know
songs.
Who's actually parallels what he does is Flight of the Conchords.
Yes,
it just occurred to me.
Okay,
yeah.
And in fact, they even work in a similar vein.
Yeah,
they have this kind of soft jazz. They like, you know, bossa nova type.
Yeah,
they have like a parody of like a French bossa nova song.
Mm-hmm.
And they genuinely love this stuff. They love the music. But they have a light touch. It's not overtly parodistic.
Sure.
Funny. It just occurred to me that is kind of a parallel. Contemporary guys who are doing kind of a similar thing to what he was doing, I think.
And he's also
in
not
style
with that sort of. What was his singing style? How'd you describe his singing style? What
did you say? I said it was sort of a conversational Tom Lehrer style.
Yes, yeah. Well, that, I guess, that lends to it, to you having to listen for the jokes. That does lend to it having. He's not being a goofy singer. Like Weird Al, for instance, much as I love him, like he knows, like when he's a goofy singer. He's a great singer, but he can be very goofy through most of the things he does.
Yeah.
Not a great mimic necessarily. And so this lends itself to not being noticed as a comedy song if you weren't paying attention, I suppose.
Right. I think one of the first things I saw him do was, it's on a different record, and it is a great comedy song. It's a comedy song with one great joke in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a song called Hors d'oeuvre. Which he would set up by saying it was a French song. It's a love song. I remember him doing it on The Tonight Show, and he'd take out a checkered tablecloth and put it over his lap and then pull it like a baguette. And then the first verse is just him just singing La La La. But he set it up on The Tonight Show saying the first verse was in French. And then he just goes La 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 La.
Oh, my God.
La 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 La. And the lyrics are... do you mind if I do it? This is the first song that made an impression on me. What a lovely night it's been. It's this bossa nova kind of thing. It's too bad it has to end. Won't you give me a little kiss? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. It's all set up. As I sleep, I'll dream of this. Ya-da-da-da-da. And the chance we'll meet again. Da-da-da-da-da. Sends a tingle through each nerve. It's so hard to say au revoir. So let's just say hors d'oeuvre. It's a really good joke. Come on.
I love it.
And then he goes, hors d'oeuvre, let's just say hors d'oeuvre. And it ends.
Oh, my God.
That's a world-class joke.
Yeah, it's that's phenomenal.
And it's some of that Weird Al would do a joke like that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I feel like I'd like to see these performed. Now that you're saying it, like, I feel like maybe that would...
I remember him doing that song on The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also on one of the albums.
Mm-hmm.
And really cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
And that joke really killed me.
Yeah. This is...
It's very simple.
Yeah.
It's a song, but there it is. It's a song with one joke in it.
For sure. Yeah. And that works. I mean, you know.
It's one joke. It's mm-hmm. a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joke. I mean, it is that song is a classic. Doesn't have a million jokes in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a setup and a really good punchline.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sings the punchline at the end, and that's it. But I thought that was really funny. I remember buying the album that's on and thinking that the Tonight Show version was better.
Okay.
With all the sort of buildup.
Sure, sure, sure. Now, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But these, there's a lot of humor in this, but they're not as, they're just not, deliberately,
mm-hmm.
they're not as joke-oriented.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
They're sure. wry.
Yeah.
They're... But yeah, they work more as songs. But there's the lyrics are very witty and mm-hmm. and.
I think the humming song was the jokiest joke kind of song.
You have nothing to be offended about, and you people who are a taste hipper, and I think you know who you are, you'll know just what I'm talking about anyway. Heck, a lot of you probably even done it. I hope you enjoy it. Last night I took you home, and we began to you were such a only 17 rubber shirts leather skirts and jars of Vaseline.
Yes,
that is yeah, that is the yeah. most, and that's yeah, that is the there's a song on this which he calls like a bossa nova song, I forget what the title is, that's just about a an evening, and he hums like the X-rated parts.
Yes,
so it's
that's
just
right,
like
that's
last
right.
night we met and we began to and then it's just, which is kind of a kind of a Monty Python joke too,
mm-hmm.
like with a what is it? I don't know. With a melon.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
The joke of what you don't hear or see.
Yeah.
There's another Python-esque song in this, which I think probably had an influence. This is one of the more jokey songs called "Men," which is a sea shanty.
Yeah.
That's supposed
yeah,
to take yeah, place yeah, aboard yeah. Columbus's yeah. boat.
Mm-hmm.
And. And it's got a bit of, there's some dated gay humor in it
mm-hmm.
about how, you know, there's a boy on board named Sally and they blow each other kisses at night.
Right, right.
It's of its time.
Of course.
But it's actually very similar to the Lumberjack song.
It's not. Yeah, it's
because
not. It's
framing it as these masculine men singing in this sort of manly work song.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get into more fluid
oh, that's Ed Begley Jr. is the first mate on that one.
Who is? Ed Begley Jr. That's
is the
right.
First mate
oh,
on
that right. I forgot. How about that?
See, I remember reading that and then listening for his voice and being pleased.
And that's actually, I think, one of the weaker songs on the album
mm-hmm.
because that mm-hmm. is just here's the joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a sea shanty, but we all kind of get gay with each other because we're on this boat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a great joke.
No.
So yeah, it's funny actually. So the jokier stuff, I don't think works as well on the
yeah.
record. The record has mm-hmm. a point of view,
mm-hmm.
and when it kind of gets away from that point of view, it's not as interesting.
Mm. Yeah, it's also incredibly eclectic in terms of style. That's what I wanted to ask you about, Mike. Like, you know, you're a songwriter. What were you looking at it as? You're also an actor. So what was your first perspective on it? What were you looking
at? The first thing that jumped out at me, like I said, was the bass line in that second track. And after that track, I was listening for the musicianship throughout. As soon as I heard that, I was like, this isn't something, a bass solo like this isn't something you get on a lot of comedy records. Just right in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
It's like you're breaking out into a bass solo. We're not focusing on lyric. We're not focusing on the humor right now. We're going to go, here's some awesome musicianship.
Yeah.
And so that's what kept me bringing me in, was I was listening to the tracks. I was like, oh, you know, this is really good, you know, really good musician.
That's They Never Met, which is a good song. And Melissa Manchester does vocals in that. And she was kind of a popular singer in the 70s and 80s, who also was beloved by comedy people. She also sings on some National Lampoon records.
Yeah, as well. Right. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, might be her that fakes Joan Baez in a...
It's possible.
In this one. I'll have to look it up. Yes, I'm pretty sure it's her.
In the slightly dubious Joan Baez parody.
Which is brilliant. It's one of the greatest things ever committed to vinyl. I just can't. I'm not allowed to say it. At least not allowed to sing it. I'm sorry. You look like you had a note that you wanted to look at.
I was noting like the different styles I was making note of. It's like Everyone I Ever Loved Is Country. There's a song called Bombed Anyway, which is a blues song.
Yep.
He does kind of a funk thing.
Yeah.
A song called Don't Write Me at Home. Honor Roll is sort of a gospel song.
Mm-hmm.
The Dirty Bossa Nova song, the Sea Shanty.
Yeah.
And then he does a very 70s thing, Philadelphia Soul. Mm-hmm. There's a sketch where he talks about how he wants to do a Philly Soul record.
Yes, right.
Which works really well. And there's really not much of a joke in it. The song's called Boogeyman, and the lyrics is sort of how he's afraid of the boogeyman.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of very mildly playing on the word boogie in the 70s. But the song works.
Yeah.
I dare say it's as good as Bowie's Philly Soul song, Young Americans. That may be a radical proposition.
No, that's fine.
If Bowie can do a Philly Soul song.
Yeah, I agree.
And Elton John can do one.
So you,
why can't Martin Mull? He's an American, for God's sake.
That means you now have to cover this as Bowie. You realize that. You now have to cover this as Bowie. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I'd have to listen to it again before I could cover it.
Did you have a favorite song, Mike, on the whole thing? Maybe, I don't know if you'd have a favorite song comedically and a favorite one musically.
Musically, I liked They Never Met. Musically, I did. Comedically, I just thought the humming song was fun. I mean, there wasn't...
Yeah,
there wasn't a lot there, but I just like, okay. And he does it throughout the entire song.
Yeah.
He doesn't stop. I like that when people just stick with the joke the entire time.
Sure.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's it, yeah.
He's well known for playing a very certain type of character. So I guess it helps that he has essentially the same tone as he's singing throughout all the songs. That's the one consistent part of it, I feel. Even when he's singing a country song, he still sounds like Martin Mull.
Yeah, he doesn't really do a character thing with his voice or anything. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I feel like I respect that more. Because, again, makes it less crazy in terms of the comedy and also shows that he's a dedicated musician, I suppose. If that's important to him, which I assume it is. I could be wrong.
Yeah, because that's where he started, right?
He
started before he was even in comedy. Sorry.
That's what blew my mind, that he's as good of a comedian, though, as he is naturally, I guess. I don't like to say naturally, but he's that good, and he started out as a songwriter.
He's a creative guy, and he's famously a painter as well.
Oh, yes.
He went to RISD, I think, and works in the photorealist style.
It's crazy.
Another big 70s style.
He's
a creative guy.
Did he have... Other than the generic, yes, he influenced me, is there anything specific, like anything he did besides his albums that, like, influenced you as an actor?
It's very possible, because I, at that age, like 13, 14, when I was consuming, you know, comedy and film and TV shows that appealed to me, everything is sort of gets into your creative DNA in some way. I don't remember... I haven't really thought of him as an acting influence or anything, but anything from that time, a very formative time, is certainly in there. Like, if he walked into the room now, I would be excited.
Sure, of course.
I'd be thrilled to meet him.
That's why I wanted to have Jeremy here, too. Yeah. Jeremy's worked with the man, and I wanted...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I wanted... No, Jeremy, when I want Jeremy to be here, but I texted him, and he couldn't make it, and it really made me sad. But he worked with him on... I don't remember what show it was, but either way.
He's credited with a quote that's one of my favorite quotes, and I didn't know until you asked, you were saying this the album was going to do it, and I just started looking stuff up about him. And talking about music is like dancing about architecture.
Oh, yes, that's and right. Apparently that's him.
Yeah, that's and I was like, that's astounding, because I say that all the time, and I had no idea who to attribute that to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was also, I don't know if he invented it, but he's one of the first guys I heard say, Hollywood, Los Angeles was like high school with money, which is a very famous phrase.
Yeah.
I don't know how I've never heard that, but that's brilliant.
Yeah.
He, you know, he had this sort of, again, it doesn't come across in the album, so I'll only address it for a moment, but like there was this character that he would play that was like this sort of 70s sleazeball. Is that, am I misinterpreting what he mostly played? Do you think, or is that, I don't know. Because that's what I get by looking at the cover, but maybe he's just a 70s guy.
I never thought of him as a sleazeball, but he's sort of vain.
Mm-hmm. That obviously comes across on this
but,
one.
Vain, but impotent in the figurative sense.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Harmless.
Mm-hmm.
Not really the shit, but thinks he is.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the persona he played on TV when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of the persona he plays with on his albums. And the live album is has a glam photo of him like holding a cigarette, very suave. And then it's marked all over with retouching
ideas. Oh, yes, that one.
Ideas.
Okay, yes, yes, yes. All right, that's right.
That classic mall joke.
See, that's great. I don't know.
He's kind of like, I think his persona is sort of like a small... the best-looking guy in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a good-looking guy, but he's not necessarily Robert Redford, nor does he carry himself like that.
Right.
And part of it is just his energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a really powerful or good-looking man doesn't have to prove that every second.
Mm-hmm.
And the Martin Mull character is kind of very eagerly trying to show everybody how fabulous he is.
Sure.
And that's sort of... a specific thing that he did that was really funny, and it works. Like you like the guy. His character is an asshole, but that character comes and goes on this record.
Mm-hmm. You know? I do like that after having listened to his first album first, because I just listened to that one a couple weeks ago. And I didn't quite get it. I do feel like I got a better handle on it with these sketches. And again, that could just be my inability to handle any comedy above and beyond what I'm used to. But
now if I didn't have lips just like Mary's, and I didn't have legs like Elaine's, and I didn't have hair just the color of Susan's, Haynes just as smooth. Marlins. And if my teeth weren't as white as Aretha's, and my smile wasn't just like Renee's, well, I'd be tempted to look in my little, little black book, but instead I've just thrown it away. Because I'm everyone that I have ever loved.
So what was your first impression of it then, Mike, since you are just hearing this stuff? Like,
I think I was like you, but I looked at it, I thought of it more of a humor album than straight up comedy album. I liked I wasn't really put off by it.
Sure.
Kind of, you know, I was like, this is something I could listen to again, which is a lot of comedy albums, especially musical comedy albums. It's a once through for me.
Yeah.
I like it. This is great. And that was it. I got the jokes. I don't need to go back through.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's interesting because I'm not a musician at all, but I just felt like what I was saying, like they just land as songs that you'll enjoy listening to again.
Mm-hmm.
And the humor and the lyrics and the performances are just part of the texture of the song, but they're not the whole point of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
And he performed
texture to it so that you are a musician and that landed for you as well.
Yes. He performed these live, right? because I could see this as like a conduit for his live shows. You know, like this is the album so that we can go tour, because I would love to see these lives. I would have loved to see these live because you would have seen solos from great musicians along with the humor of the songs. It would have been a light night where there's humor, comedy, and great musicianship.
Yeah, and like I said, the first time he really made an impression on me was doing one of his songs live on The Tonight Show. But because there was patter beforehand, he had props. He gave a full performance of one of his songs. And then it's that hors d'oeuvre song with the great joke.
Yeah.
Which, again, I like that joke so much, I would just sing that song to myself. I was a weird kid. Singing Martin Mull's fake sort of bossa nova love song in my car when I was a teenager.
It's just, I mean, again, you've already, it's fine, you've justified it. You were a weird kid. It is just weird that, like, you've given me stories before, like, here's how I discovered Firesign. I got it. That makes sense. Martin Mull's just not one that, I love it. This is a great curveball for me.
And this is fascinating that you don't get it. Not that you have an issue with it just doesn't land for you that way.
Right. And there's some stuff in it that did, but I think maybe more that, because I'm a sketch guy, that's the stuff, maybe it has to be obviously comedy for me. I don't know. It's hard.
Right. Right.
Even though I write satire. That's my favorite stuff to write. Yeah. And that's what's hurting my brain, that this is not...
He's not really satirical.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of gentle. He does sort of gentle parodies.
Okay. That's another way to look at it. Okay.
But
he doesn't...
I wouldn't... If we're going to start splitting hairs
We can. Absolutely. That's
I don't think he's really satirical. I think he's sort of gently parodistic.
Okay.
Yeah, almost genre parody.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
All right. Yeah. All right.
It's genre parody. But it's also a love. In a bizarre way, he's almost like guided by voices. Mm-hmm. It's completely different. But, you know, Robert Pollard, a guy who just has a genuine love of a certain area and then does songs that are... His way in is that it's a pastiche, but he loves it so much that it goes beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little closer to that kind of thing where... I, you know, good Lord, Martin Mull is Ween. It's like, it comes out of emulating something, and then there's a natural humor that the performer has. So it seems like a sort of parody, but it goes beyond that to just owning this thing.
I get that.
He's like Ween with less blowjob jokes. There are sex jokes on the album.
Sure.
There's so many musical comedy albums from the 60s and 70s that you go back there and you listen to. I'll pick something up at Amoeba. And the jokes don't resonate anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, they timed out. I don't feel that any of this stuff kind of does. You know some of the gay jokes on the that one, but that's just something, you know. But in general, you knew where they were going. Some of the stuff on these other albums that you listen to, and I'm like, okay, this I don't get anything culturally. I don't speak that language.
Sure,
I don't feel that he's at like that. I don't feel that way with this album. I don't feel like I'm culturally past that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does. Yeah. No, and again, that maybe
I do. I think there's an. I was surprised how it landed for me the same way.
I was 30 years later. Yeah,
that's funny. You know that it really did land the same way. So there's an evergreen quality to it. You know?
Yeah,
I think they wrote some good. They're simple. They're not overly ambitious. They're just good, simple songs that have a little wit in them and. It just works. But yeah, it's not like National Lampoon's Goodbye Pop, which is genre parodies, but with a kind of spiky, satirical thought behind it.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like I say, he's not trying to take, I think, in a way, like some song parodies are trying to take the thing apart.
Mm-hmm.
He's not trying to take anything apart here.
Maybe
he
that's just,
he
it.
Really does love this kind of smooth,
you
know, 70s Light FM kind of vaguely jazzy thing.
I think you're making me realize what it is then. There's number one, I hate that kind of music.
Right.
I hate that kind of music. And number two, I'm looking too hard for satire when maybe there's none there.
No,
and
there
that's
isn't
it's 100% you're right. Yeah. I would have my immediate thought
that's
was
that's really interesting.
Social satire
that's
is what
how
must
you,
be this me must be, you know.
You're looking at it through your satire glass.
100%.
Yeah.
That's problematic. that's what this podcast has done to me, though. You realize?
Like, I get it.
It's ruined me for some comedy. I wanted to grab, because I wanted to grab some of the other albums.
What, this is his sixth?
His album? Sixth or seventh.
Okay. And it was 77 it came out?
77.
And his first one came out in 72. That's like an album in a third a year. See, that's so prolific.
Also, yeah. This is like when Newhart or Shelley Berman were releasing albums. It's just like bam, bam, bam. Let's get this out. He must have just needed to make these albums.
Yeah, and I understand if it's a live album, it's a little bit. But these are studio albums, meaning this isn't one night we'll just record it and release that. These are produced albums. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are good musicians. They probably did it over the course of a weekend.
These are all the ones I have, which are most of them. The reason I want to grab them is because I love every cover he does, and I do love that.
Covers are great. He's on all of them. I also had the Sex and Violins.
Of course. He's on all of them.
And Perfect Near Perfect. Here's the live album, the actual live album, mm-hmm. not the fake live album. Which the covers are brilliant. Well, he is a visual artist, and I wonder how much he had to do with the covers. Probably a bit. I've ever loved is a fantastic cover and a great joke on the back cover as well. And this is
brilliant.
The manic retouching notes mm-hmm. on the cover of Perfect Near Perfect is really funny.
And on the
back
also
a joke in the sleeve where you have the unretouched version.
It's amazing. And the back also has a live performance retouched or attempts at retouching as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, and that's. I'm so used to
an arrow pointing with his bow tie that says, perk up, too droopy. Missing tux stud. Dandruff? Lose! Exclamation.
It's very good. I mean, maybe that's the extent of it too. Maybe I'm expecting something different than what these covers are giving me. I do feel like I'm getting, they don't feel like the same experience to me. I feel like if I look at this, I'm going to be surprised by what's on the
inside. It's interesting. Yeah, this is not meant negatively whatsoever, mm-hmm. but he's not, there's not like, he's not toothy. There's not teeth.
Sure.
In the stuff,
mm-hmm.
He actually has a kind of gentle quality.
Yeah,
to his comedy, the thing he's making fun of the most is this sort of persona that he created,
mm-hmm.
this sort of vain '70s kind of latter day Rat Pack kind of character.
Yeah.
That he liked to play with, sort of very '70s, you know, open collar, some chest hair showing.
Was he doing a mustache on the Tonight Show and stuff? Was he doing a character at all while he was being interviewed, or was it just general patter as really him?
I think it was general patter. I remember when he did the hors d'oeuvre song. It was more just the absurdity of it,
mm-hmm.
of him bringing out props and dressing himself to look like he was at a French restaurant.
Sure,
but that song is. It's like some of the songs on this where it has a kind of jazzy bossa nova quality.
Mm-hmm.
So that fits in with this sort of suave persona mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. he had, but that he's always sending up.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes off very, I think he's very charismatic, and mm-hmm. I think that persona is a joke.
I will tell you what I really want to do.
We're about two thirds of the way through side two.
I want to do Philadelphia Soul. That kind of Philly sound.
How much does a guy like you really know about Philadelphia Soul?
Well, I've been to Philadelphia.
But you haven't been through Philadelphia. And that's really what it's about. I mean, this is environment. This is culture. These are people that have lived together, grown up together, nurtured together. This is art, and art evolves. You just can't go around throwing checks around and buying a sound.
Well, I have a lot of money.
How much?
Enough.
Long ago in a dream,
guys who's kept a mustache for 40 years and it still
has,
works.
Does he still have the mustache?
I'm pretty sure. Like, every time I've seen him, he's had a mustache. I've never not seen him have a mustache.
Yeah.
Well, what you have here is five albums, and there are three different record companies.
Huh. That I did not notice. So that's pretty funny.
Yeah, exactly.
He bounced around.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He went from Capricorn, which says Warner Brothers, to ABC Records, to Asylum with the last one. But it interests me because it's piqued my interest now. Like I said, I only knew him as an actor, knew he did musical comedy, never even heard anything.
Yeah.
But it's piqued my interest because I think I'm definitely going to find something on one of these albums that I really like.
Yeah.
Not that I disliked the stuff on this album, but based on that, I know there's something there. And especially, I think if I go back, I'm going to find something that
I also was expecting sketch comedy. Can we I make that clear too?
Yeah.
I didn't look it up before. I'm like, oh, it's all music. And then I as I'm like Googling, as I'm listening, I'm an idiot. They're all music. I had zero idea. So again, expectations are, they're a tricky thing when it comes to comedy.
The opening thing with the secretary at the, it's just, it's so interesting. He's just, it's very nice. It's very nice. There's like something really calming about it, right?
He has this very sort of modulated, almost pre-NPR kind of vocal quality on the whole record. At one point, just between tracks, he just says, aren't records a wonderful way of meeting people? Yeah. I certainly think so, and that's why I do them. And that's the whole bit.
Yeah, that's my shit. Like, that kind of stuff is, I love that.
Yeah.
And it's weird to, like, have so much more affinity for the interstitials than the actual music.
The interstitials are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're funny.
Yeah.
There's that great joke in Men, too, right at the top, where it's like, the men aren't eating. He's like, they haven't eaten in 2 weeks. Well, force them.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a very vaudeville joke.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Because, I've never heard any... Nobody's ever said, let's do Martin Mull on the show. So you're the first one to pick him. Do you know anybody? Did you have friends who were listening to Martin Mull? Do you know other people who listen to Martin Mull? Or has it always been
That's a fascinating question. Because I remember vividly going to my friend Danny's house and listening to Let's Get Small.
Sure.
I remember listening to George Carlin with friends. You would go over to your friend's house and play comedy albums. I don't remember ever listening to Martin Mull with anybody.
Right. Right. This seems like the kind of thing where you might have seen a guy playing chess in the park and said, I've got this comedy album, this old guy. Do you want to listen to it with me? And maybe it would... It just shocks me that a young person would be into it.
Yeah. Yeah. That
is funny. You didn't. Yeah, nobody else.
I don't remember listening to them with listening to these albums with my friends.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Huh.
But yeah, I just responded to it for some reason.
Yeah. Have you ever met the man?
I haven't, and I really would love to meet him, and I think I'd be excited to meet him.
If I can have him on the podcast, I'll make sure you're the other guest.
Please do. We can have a part two.
Of course. And then I'll obviously have to listen to all of them so that I finally understand it better.
I bet he'd appreciate being asked.
I hope so.
Yeah. Who's having Martin Mull on podcast?
Right. Nobody.
Not even Maron.
I need to beat Mark Maron to fucking somebody.
Exactly.
For Christ's sake.
Martin Mull, if you're out there.
Yeah. I will not insult you. I will not say what's your deal.
We're fans.
I won't marry you and say what's your deal and what's your beef with me. I won't.
I remember when he was on the Tonight Show too. Mm-hmm. He would always when he would talk to Carson. He was very sweet. He didn't maintain that persona.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the way I remember it is he did. This is the way my brain works. Mm-hmm. I seriously saw this when it was broadcast, probably in 77 or something.
Mm-hmm.
When he did that, the funny French song.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't seen the clip since, but I just remember it. And I remember Carson saying to him, you are a funny man.
Oh, man.
And Mull saying very genuinely, thank you.
That's awesome.
And then he had said this in more than one interview, that he got into music, and the way he put it was, well, I thought I was good, but not good enough to be professional. But then I listened to the radio and I realized not being good enough to be professional was no drawback.
Right.
So, but he said that more than once. It was like one of his little interview things. But I think he kind of, that is framing him framing himself as an amateur.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, amateur comes from amour. It means to do for love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of what this album is. He genuinely loves these sort of genres that he's mm-hmm. playing with, and loves performing and singing. And he gets that he has a naturally sort of wry, detached quality, which I never thought about this,
mm-hmm.
but that is sort of a persona that I present to people.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I, many years ago, I'm not a musician by any stretch of the imagination, but many years ago in New York, I got a guitar and learned a few chords and mm-hmm. had a friend who considered herself an amateur as well. And we would go out and play and sort of hipster evenings or variety shows.
Mm-hmm.
But the mere act of me coming out with a guitar would get a laugh because it just seemed incongruous. And then I would sing indeed in a conversational James Urbaniak, Tom Lehrer, Martin Mull type voice. And we yeah. were like, this is these silly little yeah, joke
that's
songs.
Perfect. That's know? Perfect. Yeah.
But I think there's something about that. He's aware that he lands funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
you recognize that he's a funny actor.
Absolutely, yeah.
And naturally funny. So I think he genuinely loves this music,
mm-hmm.
but he knows that he can't not speak on stage.
Yeah.
He can't do it straight. He just, he's hardwired. He just has a natural sort of remove
mm-hmm.
that's funny.
Right.
So I think that's part of it. He really loves singing and playing music, and he loves real musicians.
You noted how
and he gives the bassist a solo, like
yep.
you said.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's part of it. He knows that he's sort of an amateur who loves this stuff
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and is doing, you know, so there's a little remove. But that I think this album is basically about the music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not so much a joke delivery system.
Right. Well, see, and now I have the perspective to look at all the
and
other albums
And this is what's
properly.
Great about your show. I hadn't thought about it this way when I sat down on the couch, but...
That's why
we're all figuring it out. We're all figuring out Martin Mull.
I don't normally put the pressure on somebody
Martin
either.
Mull.
I had to. But I told.
No, I love it because I think every time
mm-hmm.
we've had great discussions on this show. Mm-hmm. I've been on a few times. But everything we've talked about, I think, even The Odd Couple Sings,
mm-hmm.
you were nodding your head in agreement.
Yeah.
Like, it's awesome.
Uh-huh.
And we were, but we didn't delve into why, what is it so much.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And
yeah,
I like having we kind of did that. We had Joseph Scrimshaw on and talked about a Maury Amsterdam album neither of us had ever heard before. It's phenomenal. And what's great is I'm like, nobody's ever heard of this. There's a song on here called Yucca Puck. Billy West comes in 2 months later and says, wait, does that album have Yucca Puck on it? I'm like, holy
shit. I'll tell you this.
It's amazing.
And I'm not going to do the joke here because
sure.
it won't work. But okay. I saw Maury Amsterdam on The Tonight Show in the 80s
uh-huh.
tell a joke, which he attributed to Buddy Hackett.
Uh-huh.
That really cracked me up, and I have told that joke many times socially.
Mm-hmm. Maury Amsterdam's a genius. He's a goddamn genius.
And I know
genius.
Part of the reason it was so funny is because of Maury Amsterdam's delivery.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
And my wife Pickles.
He has another album, too, I just found out recently.
I've never heard a Maury Amsterdam album.
Oh, I'll send you something.
All right.
It's so good. Okay, this is coming out next week, since this is our 6th anniversary show. Mike, do you have anything to promote? I'm going to ask you first.
No.
Okay.
I have absolutely nothing to promote right now.
James?
There's stuff coming out in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're going to shoot Difficult People. I would just promote the podcasts that are just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to start up Getting On With James Urbaniak again, which is my
oh, good.
Podcast where I do like little radio plays.
Mm-hmm.
And then my writing partner, Bree Williams, and I wrote a 10-episode serial
mm-hmm.
for Howl, Earwolf's right? Howl channel.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Called A Night Called Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
which you can hear. And the first episode is for free on Earwolf, and then if you're a Howl subscriber, you can hear the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very proud of that show. And then there's a couple films that I was just in Park City for Sundance and Slam Dance, and I'm in a movie called Dave Made a Maze, which I think will probably get a release in the near future, which is a sort of comedic... pastiche of an 80s fantasy quest movie a la Labyrinth
uh-huh.
oh, cool.
or The Dark Crystal
uh-huh.
but it's about a bunch of sort of hipster flipsters who go off on a quest and
that's
it's
awesome
good.
That yeah. sounds fun
so yeah those are the main things
and on Twitter at James Urbaniak
at James Urbaniak and we're supposed to be recording a new season of The Venture Brothers soon
good I'm a season behind I'm the worst human
Also, I just got engaged to Sarah Pocock.
That's right.
So there, yeah. But
congratulations!
Thank
congratulations!
You.
So where can everybody go to your wedding? Everybody's invited,
yeah,
right?
There'll okay, be a, I think there'll be a city hall ceremony. We'll announce it soon, and, oh, nice. And we can get hundreds. Of
I'm
people
sitting there. Here thinking of a good joke instead of congratulating you. I'm that asshole.
No. It's, no, I'm an asshole. The nature of the show.
Guys, I don't know. Watch my Comedy Album a Day videos on YouTube. There are little previews on Instagram. There's a drinking game this month, and I don't know what it is, but I'm in it. I have no idea what it is. Sometime this month in February. And you can still go to lookingforwardmovie.com. James is in it. Mike's in it. You guys are both in it.
That's right.
That's about it. Thank you guys for being here and thanks helping me celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Normally,
and anyone who knows Mr. Mull, get in touch.
Yes, please. You know what? Frankly, Jeremy just should get him on the show. Jeremy, it's your responsibility. Right. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. Please visit stolendress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, and if you like us, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. You can find us on facebook.com/comedyonvinyl, Twitter @comedyonvinyl, and find everything else at comedyonvinyl.com. A major portion of Comedy on Vinyl has been underwritten by Stand Up Records. Please visit standuprecords.com for all your comedy needs and tune into the new Stand Up channel available on the Roku, where you can also find select episodes of this podcast.
Before we go any further, I'd like to thank you all for coming tonight, or however you reacted.